What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mike Milner. In today's episode of the Coach's Compass, first of all, what's up, Coach? How are we feeling? Doing good? I hope so. Because this is going to be a juicy episode. First, I'm going to break down the idea of a free training and where that should fit within the ecosystem of your content. Because I got a really great question from a coach yesterday, and she was like, Mike, I feel like I should not offer my coaching services in my emails, in my posts, in my content, because I have a small audience. I'm still trying to establish myself. I'm still trying to build authority and trust. She was like, I think it would be better if I just offered free trainings instead. And what are your thoughts on that? And it was an amazing question, and it sparked a whole running dialogue in my brain, because I actually used to think exactly the same way. And I'm going to share my experience with that and then what I recommend doing instead. And hopefully you'll be able to, you know, get something, take something away from my experience, and maybe you've experienced something similar. And then I'm going to get into a little bit of a deeper psychological marketing strategy, you can call it, or just concept, really. It's not really a strategy. It's more of a concept. But it's really something that I've noticed makes a massive, massive difference. There's this psychological principle that can overcome a lot of bad things. Like, you could have a horrible website design. It can be like graphically very unappealing. You can have pretty poor copy, in the sense that it's not very well written, like grammar wise or whatever. You can have a bunch of spelling errors. You can have a bunch of grammatical mistakes, and it won't matter all that much with this one psychological marketing principle. So it can overcome like a lot of bad habits. I'm trying to think of like the nutrition equivalent. Like, what's the thing that lets you get away with a lot? Probably muscle, right? Like, muscle can overcome a lot of bad habits. Like, if you have, I don't know, maybe it's a horrible analogy. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But so I'm going to go over that as well. Before I do, I'm trying to reach a bigger coach audience. And if you don't mind spreading the word, that would be amazing. If you can just share with fellow coaches and let them know that every Friday I have this Coach's Compass segment. I'm also going to try to start bringing on some guests for the Coach's Compass. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but I've got a few in mind that I think would add value. And I'm pretty selective. I'm kind of a lone wolf in the sense that there's not many people that I trust. And I'm going to explain why that is. There's not very many people that I trust. But if you know, or if you think that's a good idea, let me know. I would love to hear some feedback, or if you prefer the solo mission that I'm on, please let me know. And also, you could do me a solid. And I have a partnership with Legion Athletics. If you're in need of any sort of supplementation, protein powder, you need some vitamin D, you need some fish oil, you need some creatine, you need a pre-workout, they have pretty much everything. And if you're not already a affiliate of Legion, and you want to take care of your supplements or take care of your clients, use my code POPFAM. It's legionathletics.com. The code is POPFAM. It's one sponsor that I feel like I've been neglecting a little bit, and I feel like they deserve some love, because they put out great stuff. They have great products. They have such an assortment to choose from in terms of what you can get. Obviously, you have the protein powders, and they have the bars, and they have the cookies, but then you've got all of your vitamins and minerals. You've got, a B complex, you got a multivitamin, vitamin D, fish oil, magnesium. They've got everything, and it's all quality stuff. So if you need that for yourself, go to legionathletics.com and use the code POPFAM, POPFAM, and you get 20% off your first order, or you get double points. So, let me start by saying, I had a weird situation happen recently. And I'm not really sure how to handle it. I'm still kind of in the contemplation stage of what I need to do. So you guys know I launched the collective. And if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to go into detail. I did a whole episode on it last week, so you can go back and listen to that one. And somebody that I was previously friends with, that I no longer consider a friend, because when somebody shows you their true colors, it's important to believe them. And this was just a really weird situation where the person started spreading a lot of lies and misinformation and fear, and saying some things about me that I were unfortunate. That's the best way to describe it. I'm not really sure how to handle if I just accept the fact that, like, I don't need this person in my life. I don't want this person in my life. Just move on. Or what? Or, like, in those situations, do you call the person out? Do you say, hey, like, this was really messed up? And the weird thing about it was that the lies that this individual was telling people are very easy to confirm with a quick Google search. And I find it very confusing. It's like, why make a statement and try to, get people to believe something when it can be easily verified with a quick Google search? Like, that to me is like, if you're a coach, don't ever do that. Like, I've had people, plagiarize me. I've had people take my stuff. I've had, I've had a lot of things. And look, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm a perfect angel and I've never made a mistake. So I'm certainly not sitting on my high horse right now. But when somebody is spreading a blatant lie, wouldn't you consider the fact that if it can be verified with a very quick Google search, then people are going to realize that you're lying, that you're the manipulator. It's bizarre to me. Anyway, it's really unfortunate. I'm not really sure how to handle it. I'm kind of like confused by the whole thing. I really just, I'm curious if you are a coach, because hopefully you're a coach listening to this. This is not specific to coaches. This is just human stuff. This is like, help me be a human. If you ever had that happen with somebody who was previously a friend and then started spreading lies, but it's not even like a he said, she said situation. It's literally like, hey, I can just go to Google and show that you're lying. Would you do that and then go to that person and be like, hey, look, the stuff that you're saying is very easy to invalidate, and I would like to have a conversation about why you feel the need to do that? Or would you just say, I'm above this person. I don't need this person in my life. I'm going to continue with the thought process of I'm cutting this person out of my life and moving on and just ignore it. I'm super curious what you would do. And I truly would love to hear. Like, message me on Instagram at coach_Mike_Milner. I genuinely would love to hear, because I'm a bit torn, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Mel about this yet. She's actually on her way home right now. So I'm going to get her wisdom, and then I'm going to figure out what to do about it, because I don't know, kind of fucked up. But anyway, that's not the point. It was on my mind, and I was getting ready to record this, and I just kind of found out all of the details. And I'm like, that is so weird, because like, why lie about something that's literally right verifiable on the internet without it can be verified in 2.2 seconds? Anyway, whatever. Let's talk about some more important stuff, like free trainings. So yeah, I got a question from a coach yesterday, and she, like most coaches, when you're first starting out, when you have a smaller audience, you're like, well, I feel really weird making an offer, because I need to like establish myself. I need credibility. I need authority. I need to build trust. And so she said, like when I teach my copywriting frameworks, my emails, my, that whole process that I teach, I have my belief shifting framework, I have my storytelling framework, and I have my offer framework. Now, the belief shifting typically I recommend weaving your offer into the end of a belief shifting email or post. Not all the time, but the standard kind of skeleton and framework does include an offer. And the reason why it doesn't come across as salesy or like a traditional offer is because the bulk of the email or the post, the bulk of the content is solving a real problem. We're not gatekeeping anything. We're not hiding anything. We're sharing all of the details. And then we're giving them the option of like, hey, this is how it works when you work with me. So I've already given you the solution, but then it's like, you know, if you want help implementing and you want this dream outcome, this is how I do it with my clients. Now, obviously with the offer framework, it's a very specific, detailed, direct offer. But she's like, you know, I have a small audience. I want to establish myself. Should I just not include the offers like you recommend? Should I just focus more on free trainings? Because that will help me establish trust and credibility and authority and connection and all the things. And I, you know, it's funny because I said, I love the question. And I used to have the exact same thought process. So when my audience was smaller, I thought, let me get people to a free training so I can communicate like all of the juicy insights that I have. Like it's almost like I have this secret that I can't wait to tell you, but I'm not going to tell you unless you come to the free training. That was kind of the mindset that I had. And so, and my belief was very similar. It was like, if I do that, the people that come to the training, they'll trust me more. I can establish myself as an authority. I can build this connection with them. And ultimately, it will lead to more sales. So I would put all of my content efforts into getting people to register. And I was doing this very consistently. And what that looked like is pretty vague content. Like I just wanted somebody to raise their hand and show any amount of interest. And it didn't even need to be a comment. Like back then, if somebody liked my post that was about a free training or a webinar or a workshop, I would jump at the opportunity to message them directly and be like, hey, I saw that you liked my post. Thanks so much. Here's the training that I'm doing. I would love to have you register. And like, I would jump down their throat to get them to sign up. And the reason why my content was a lot of vague hype, like fluff, no substance, because in my mind, if I delivered all of the juicy insights in my everyday content, then the people listening or reading would have no reason to show up to the free training. So I thought that was pretty logical. I thought, like, if I share all of this ahead of time, nobody's going to come to the training because they already have all of the information. So I thought that was a pretty logical thing. So the style of my posts were either like very vague and generic short form, or when I would be more long form, which is typically how I write. So when I would write more long form content and emails, I would just drill into all of the different pain points that my clients or my audience, my ideal clients were experiencing. And I would make it sound like super urgent. Like you have to solve these problems. Like these problems are literally costing you so much. And if you don't solve them, they're only going to get worse. But don't worry, I have the solution. But you have to register for this training to get the solution. And that's kind of how I approached content for a long time. The irony is, I was trying to use those resources in terms of like the trainings and webinars and lives that I was doing to build credibility. But because I was newer and because I had a smaller audience, my daily content hadn't done that yet. So think about it. Like, I'm trying to get you to a training to build credibility, but why would you go to the training if you don't think I'm credible yet, right? Like, so the logic, it fell apart very quickly. So I found it much harder to get people to register because they didn't trust me yet, because I hadn't shown any reason to be trustworthy. So the whole process became pretty arduous. Just to like eke out a few subscribers or a few registrants to my training. And then of course we know how it plays out. Like you get a certain amount to register. And then a certain amount will actually show up live, which is like maybe 40%, if you're lucky. If you're lucky, 40% will show up live. And then we have to actually deliver the training. And then we have to make the call to action at the end. You don't have to, but that's kind of what I was doing. So the people that did show up, even though it was hard to get people to register because I hadn't built trust and credibility yet. I hadn't built connection and authority yet. But then the people that did register, they were hearing all of my best insights for the first time. So it was kind of like, I'm asking them to process all of this on the spot and to trust me and to, you know, view me as a credible source and to connect with me like in the moment. And then I'm offering my coaching services at the end. So it's no surprise that training after training was a total flop in actually getting people to enroll in coaching. And it's, you can have the absolute best training in the world. You can have the best of the best of the best training in the world, but it really doesn't matter if nobody's there. If you can't get people to register, or if you get a few people to register, but those people don't really trust you yet. They're, you know, like if you have a select few who trust you, but there's like 90% of the audience on there who has no idea if they can trust you or not. You're trying to do it all on the spot. That's a tough hill to climb. Maybe some people can get away with it, but I certainly couldn't. And then I got the idea after spinning my wheels and feeling frustrated and feeling burnt out. I got the idea to go against everything I had ever been taught about marketing. And I've told this story so many times, so I don't need to go through how that all happened and how it all played out. But the bottom line is, I made a dramatic shift in the way that I produced content, the way that I marketed myself. And it was very much a tell all, reveal all, hide nothing style, which is now kind of like my calling card. So I started sharing all of my best insights directly in my emails, in my posts, everywhere, on the podcast. Like everywhere that I was doing anything, I was sharing all of my best insights. I would share insights into the problems that my audience was facing. I'd explain why those problems were happening. I would explain why their current or past solutions weren't working. I would tell them exactly what to do instead. I would give them the full solution. And then I would show them how that solution fits within the process that I use for my clients to help them achieve their dream outcomes. And if you're paying attention and that sounds familiar, that's the belief shifting framework. That's what became the belief shifting framework. Insight into a problem, why it's happening, why the traditional conventional wisdom or past methods haven't worked, what to do instead, and then how that solution fits into the big picture process that you use with your clients that creates their dream outcome. That is the belief shifting framework. And once I started doing it, it seems so obvious. Like, of course, my best, most impactful insights needed to be shared more frequently because we don't hear something for the first time and then immediately go like run and do it, right? Like if you're trying to tell somebody, like imagine people who were smart enough to buy Bitcoin at like a dollar. And I'm now crypto's back in apparently. Anyway, you know, like the people that were like, there's this new technology that is going to change whatever. Like, I don't know what was talked about back then. I think it was in 2008. So it was a long time ago, but like, hey, there's this new technology. It's called the blockchain. There's this thing called Bitcoin, whatever. Do you think that somebody heard it for the first time and was like, oh my God, I'm all in. I'm going to spend my life. Like maybe a select few. But most of the time we need to hear the insights over and over again. And we're like, it just keeps making more sense. So of course I need to share that stuff more often. Hiding that stuff behind closed doors. Even if that closed door is just a simple training, like there's not a big barrier there, but there is a barrier. Number one, you have to sign up for the training. Number two, you have to be available for when the training is hosted. And number three, you have to either show up when you're supposed to or watch the replay. Like that is a hoop. You know, we're jumping through hoops to make that happen. So you know, you might say, oh, it's not a lot of resistance, but it is resistance. It's a lot more resistance than just reading a email or reading a post. The more hoops that somebody has to go through in order to receive this life-changing insight, the longer it's going to take for you to build the thing that you're trying to build, the trust, the authority, the connection, the relationship. But here's the other part of that is once I started doing it and once I started sharing that everywhere, I no longer had to convince people to join my trainings or attend my webinars. I didn't have to beg and plead. I didn't have to follow up with every single person who liked my post because they already had a strong sense of what I was all about and how I could help them. And they just wanted to hear more. So they already knew, but they're like, yeah, give me more. This all makes sense, but hearing it in a live training, absolutely. They just became extensions of what I was already doing. They knew how I could help. They knew the solutions, the problems that I solved. They knew how I solved them. They just wanted to hear more of that. So not only was I able to start getting more consistent inbound leads from my daily content, but my training started converting infinitely better. And I think it's funny because sometimes the answer we expect is not really what we initially expect. That's the whole part of being a business owner is being open-minded to doing things a different way than you've been taught before. Just like we tell nutrition clients, you got to be open to trying something different. Like if the 1,200 calories and hours of cardio was going to work, it would have worked by now. If the vague, you know, hide the how sleazy marketing tactics were going to work, they probably would have worked by now. So maybe try a different approach. But I still do webinars. I still do workshops. I still do trainings, but I use them to supplement everything else that I'm doing. I use them to supplement my emails, supplement my content, supplement my podcast, because some people prefer to absorb information through a video. Some people prefer written word. Some people prefer audio. So I'm basically saying the same shit over and over again with just different methods of delivery. And when I do make an offer at the end of a training or at the end of a webinar or at the end of a workshop, it's basically the exact same outline as how I do it in my emails and my posts and my podcast. Everything is all in alignment and it's congruent and you're getting the same information everywhere. And it has skyrocketed the ability to enroll new clients because they're pre-sold. So I have people that get on the phone and they tell me, they're like, I love that your program does this, this, and this. And I'm like, amazing. So when are we getting started? Now I'm oversimplifying that to prove a point, but it pretty much is like that. It's like, I love the fact that you talk about, you know, behavior change. I love the fact that you talk about lifestyle integration, that this has to make sense for your social life and your family life. And I love the fact that you do a personality assessment and you really get to know our strengths and weaknesses and likes and dislikes and you know, personalize the plan to that level. They know all the things. Like, I love the fact that you're focused on metabolic health and that you can also help with, you know, autoimmune conditions and gut health issues. And they know all the things. Now, sometimes there's some like verifying questions like, hey, when you talk about this, tell me a little bit more about how that works. And then we just have, you know, an open dialogue about it, but they're pre-sold. And it turns out that delivering your best insights and making offers directly in your emails and your posts is exactly what you should be doing, even and especially when you have a smaller audience, because that's how you're building trust. The thing that you think the training is going to do, you have to do first with the people who have already said, I'm going to be friends with you on Facebook. I'm going to subscribe to your email list. I'm going to follow you on Instagram. I'm going to follow you on TikTok. Give them your best insights because then they will trust you more. And when you host a workshop or a webinar or training, they're going to show up to get more of what you offer. Now, the nice thing for you is that you don't have to figure this out on your own. You don't have to develop your own framework because I did all the work for you already. I have it all laid out in my system that you can plug and play on repeat. And that's what it is to be in the collective. It's to be the trusted coach who can actually articulate what they do. It's funny because, you know, we're really good as coaches at helping people. Obviously, we create life-changing transformation, but can you really say that you're a great coach if you don't know how to articulate what you do? I don't know. It's a question. If you can't articulate what you do to the point that that message hits home with your ideal clients, are you really the trusted coach? I don't know. It's something to consider. To me, I don't want to be the coach that has life-changing insights that nobody knows about. I want my audience to know exactly what I can do for them because I can articulate it really well, and then they get to just decide. And it's the same thing that I do for coaches. Like, you should know what I'm all about when it comes to copywriting and email marketing and, you know, belief shifting and all the things, pre-selling, being very transparent about your prices and your process and all the things. So there shouldn't be any question. It's just a decision. Like, is that important to you? Is how you're communicating your message and how you're attracting the right clients, is that important to you? And then it's just a yes or no. If it's a yes, jump in the collective. And if it's a no, don't. And it's really that simple. All right. So real quick, before I wrap this up, there is that marketing principle, this psychological principle that is the most powerful, in my opinion, psychological trigger that you can weave into your messaging. And it comes down to identity marketing. Now, there's really two ways to drive urgency, meaning somebody is like, I feel very compelled to do this, but I can't wait. I have to do this right now. There's external, which is typically what you see all over the place, right? External is, we only have 4 spots left and they're filling up fast, when we all know that that's bullshit. You know, the clock strikes midnight and it's game over for you. So there's the external. That's where you're creating these incentives. You're kind of like fabricating urgency. I'm not saying it's not real, because I do that too. Like, I have X amount of spots, and then once it's gone, it's gone. It's legitimate. Or I'm doing this, you know, bonus offer where anybody who signs up on day one, you have 24 hours and you get all of these wonderful incentives. And then once 24 hours is gone, those incentives go away. That is real, but you're fabricating it. Like, you're presenting external urgency by taking something away, right? We know that from, like, being parents, when you threaten to take something away, all of a sudden your child is much more inclined to act. It's like, hey, you know, put your dish away. Yeah, I'll get to it. No, put your dish away now. Yeah, no, I'm just going to finish this one, you know, whatever. I'm going to finish this one TikTok video, and then I'm going to put my dish away. Hey, if you don't put your dish away right now, I'm taking your phone and you're not getting it back until tomorrow. Boom. Dish goes away, right? Like, the threat of something being taken away, that's the external. Then there's internal urgency. Internal or intrinsic urgency has to come from a specific psychological source, right? So everything outside of that is external, where you're talking about things being, you know, threats or bonuses or incentives, all that stuff. That's external. The intrinsic, the internal urgency comes from somebody making a decision that confirms their aspirational identity. The aspirational identity is who they want to become. And it's not just, who do I want to become, but there's a lot of layers to that. It's, how do I want to be viewed in the world? How do people see me right now? What do I value? There's a lot of different layers to this, but at the core is that aspirational identity and what they want to become, because people will make decisions that confirm their identity. So if somebody sees your offer and you've done a good job at articulating the offer in connection with their aspirational identity, they will feel intrinsic urgency. It won't be, oh, the clock strikes midnight and you lose out. It'll simply be, I need this right now. It will be a subconscious drive to say, I need this right now. I need to sign up for this, because it's confirming who they want to become. And again, there's layers to it, but at the 30,000 foot view, that is the most powerful form of marketing. And I'll give you an example of somebody who does it really well. Lululemon. Lululemon, whether you hate them or love them, they do this incredibly well. A lot of people are like, oh, they're so good at branding. No, they're so good at making women and men, but mainly women, feel as though their clothing makes them become the people that they want to become. They've been able to attach their apparel to the aspirational identity of their audience. Think about it. That how can you get away with charging so much more for a basic ass set of yoga pants than your competitors and not even bat an eye? It's because that intrinsic drive to purchase is rooted in the aspirational identity of the buyer. They're not consciously thinking, when I wear this brand, when I put on these pants, I become this person. It is a subconscious, which is why they do it so well. It's a subconscious decision that when I make this purchase, I become this person. I'm confirming the identity that I want to step into. I'm confirming this version of myself that I want to become. Very powerful. I'm going to be teaching on that more in depth. And if you're in the collective, you will get that included. So another incentive that's external, another incentive is an external drive to jump into the collective so that you can learn more about how to create the internal drive inside of your messaging and your audience. So if you're not in the collective, get in there. You just go to www.5minuteemails.com. Five is spelled out, 5minuteemails.com, and get yourself in there and you will learn more about identity marketing and how to create that intrinsic urgency inside of your audience. Anyway, that's all I got for today. Hopefully this was helpful. And please hit me up about some of the stuff that I talked about earlier. Truly, it would really be helpful. I would love it if you reached out at coach_Mike_Milner, and I will talk to you soon.